For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Friends, you're probably aware that names often have meanings, don't they? Who knows what their name means? Just put up your hand if you know what your name means. Yeah, most people know what their name means, and those who don't were probably just too shy to put their hand up, I think. But long ago, names meant things in a little bit more of a special way. And while we normally name our children either just names we like or names from a particular family, even today, some people still get names that indicate something about them. My parents, for example, named me Andrew, which means strong and manly. How did they know? Very impressive. But all jokes aside, not that strong and manly is a joke, but in the case of Isaiah, this is the truth. God, through the prophet Isaiah, told us hundreds of years before it happened, told us about Jesus. Before it happened, you heard it here first, about the great light that was to dawn through the coming of the Messiah. And the first thing we see here in this passage is that the child is a gift. The child's a gift. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The child is born like any other child and born of a woman in the usual way. The child is human. He shares our nature. He's like us. But not only is he born, he's given. Of course, all children are given. They are given as a gift of God, and that makes them special. And yet this child comes as an extra special gift. He doesn't appear on the scene as a random accident of chance. He comes, he is given to us directly from the hand of God. This birth is very much intended. After all, the child is a gift because God didn't have to give him to us. God was under no obligation to do anything for us. We got ourselves into a mess in this world, and you couldn't blame God if he said, well, look, you're just going to have to get out of the mess yourself. Well, what mess is that? The mess of having turned away from the only God who ever loved us. Only God who has ever been good to us. And even if we couldn't get out of the mess ourselves, it'd be entirely reasonable and fair if God had done nothing. But God didn't do nothing. God didn't lock us away in a prison cell and throw away the key. He gave us a gift. He promised his people that he would save them from their sins. They would raise up someone they could follow wholeheartedly, a leader who could lead them back to God, lead us back to God. And he comes to us. He comes to us as a gift, this promised child announced hundreds of years earlier in chapter 7. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Jesus comes to us as a gift. To us a son is given. And friends, Jesus is one of the gifts that keeps on giving. Year after year after year. It doesn't say that the gift never reaches a limit. It's not like perhaps you opened or you're going to open a present today and you're going to get a voucher to some shop and it's use it in 12 months or what's left expires. No, generation after generation, God gives us the gift of Jesus again and again and again to save all who look to him and turn to him in faith. Yet another gift. The child is a gift. We also see that the child is to be a king. Isaiah goes on to say, and the government will be on his shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders. Sometimes you probably know people sentimentalize the Christmas story. A cute baby asleep in a manger. No crying he makes. Yeah, right. But friends, the Christian message of Christmas is not a sentimental story. It's not gooing and gaaing over a little baby boy born in a stable. It's the realization that the King of Earth has been born. The birth of the Almighty, a royal king ruling on the throne of David. That's what's pictured here. The government will be on his shoulders. In other words, he'll take over the running of the world. He'll bear that responsibility on his shoulders. It's easy to forget that the child who was born a king. Many people prefer to overlook that each year as Christmas draws near. A newborn baby is nice, but a king to rule, they feel threatened. Threatened not because the king isn't a good king. In fact, Jesus is the best of kings, the King of Kings. We can feel threatened because we want to be able to live our lives our own way. We want autonomy. Independence. We want to be able to make our own choices and not have to answer to anybody. We want a power sharing deal with God, just like Clive Palmer wants a power sharing deal in the Senate. A deal where we can share power with Jesus, where he needs our votes, so he'll give us a few concessions along the way. But that's not the sort of king who was born. Not a power-sharing king, a power-sharing Jesus. We have a king born who has an absolute majority. And we're told here that the child will bear assume the responsibilities of government, that is, to be a king. And that's what we see in the Gospels as well. The wise men, as we've seen before with the children, bringing gifts to honor Jesus as a king. Gifts fitting for a royal child. And so Emmanuel, God with us, will have the government on his shoulders. The child is to be a king. It's the king that we've come together this morning to worship this Christmas morning. Born a child and yet a king. Hark, the herald angels sing. It's the king that we are worshiping this morning. And then the third and final aspect of Isaiah's message of hope declares to us that the child has a name that is above all names. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You may have seen in the news recently that Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, has been in the news after executing his uncle for treason. You may remember a few years ago when he was appointed as the successor, as the new leader, he was given some new names as part of that ceremony. Although as yet completely untested and unproven, he was given names such as these: Outstanding Leader and Great Successor. It was a propaganda tool. We can see through it. Those names bear about as much reality to the truth as the claim that Kim Jong-un's father picked up a golf club. When he picked up a golf club for the first time, he shot 38 under par, including 11 holes in one. That was the very first time he played golf. I'm hearing some laughs of disbelief. You don't believe that was witnessed by 17 security guards. They bear witness that it's true, and they swear on their lives that it happened. And if they said that it didn't happen, they'd probably lose their life as well. But these names, these four names that Jesus has given, are names beyond all names. They're given in truth. They reflect reality. He is Wonderful Counselor. He's wise, and therefore he's most qualified to be a king. He's Mighty God. He has power to rule and is in fact God himself. He's the God-man, God in human flesh. He's Everlasting Father. He knows and rules his people as a good father would, and he does so forever. And he's the Prince of Peace, the one who secures peace, eternal peace, peace with God most importantly, and for his people. The child is a gift. The child is to be a king, and the child has a name above all names. And friends, he wasn't only born. But as you well know, he died upon a cross. And that wasn't all either. He was raised to life on the third day. He rose triumphant over the grave into heaven. And as another part in the Bible tells us, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus has the name above all names. And friends, that has happened. Jesus has established his royal kingdom. And as the gospel stories that tell us about Jesus picture it, he was crowned king with a crown of thorns as he hung upon the cross. And then he ascended into heaven, into the royal throne room, to take up his kingship, ruling over his people with justice and loving kindness, a kingdom that has begun already. And a kingdom that will be seen again in all its fullness when Jesus returns again. The question, the only question really, which faces us this morning is in which way we respond to that message, and in which way we respond to Jesus, to the good and faithful promised king, promised by Isaiah, to the king of all glory who was born perhaps on a cold night into a feeding trough, to the king who now rules with all justice and righteousness from heaven. Do you acknowledge his kingship? Do you bow before King Jesus, before his throne? Jesus was born to bring light into a dark world and light into our hearts. Jesus was born that he might deliver us from spiritual tyranny, that we might live in peace. Jesus was born to enter into a royal and eternal kingship that would last forever. And this Christmas we remember that the zeal of the Lord Almighty has accomplished this. And we rejoice in it as we await his second coming, the return of the King. Let's pray.